Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about my special secret.
Welcome to One Love, One Connection, One Us with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey
and Reverend Arlene Cahet.
Okay,
Arlene,
so
how
tonight
are you?
I am outstanding, and I'm not standing outside. How are you doing?
I am great, whole, and perfect.
All right, excellent, excellent. So tonight we are going to talk about relationships that honor you. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show was because oftentimes when I meet up with my intuitive clients, they will ask me about a love interest that they have had, and that love interest hasn't talked to them in 3, 4, 5, you know, 6 months, and they're asking me questions about, well, how does this person feel about me? Well, you know, is there any possibility of us getting back together? What is their mindset of when they are, you know, when they are thinking about me? Do I cross their mind at any time? Well, you know, I will say that I generally take the more pragmatic approach when talking about this with my clients. And I will say, based upon what you are experiencing right now, what is their behavior telling you? Do they call you? Do they text you? Are they trying to actively engage with you? Because here's the thing is that they are coming to me wanting me to give them an answer that is opposite to what it is that their experience is telling them, but the harsh reality is that that person isn't desiring them anymore, that relationship is over, and they are in this state of wanting and wanting it to be something that it is not.
You mean they're in the now?
It's in serious denial.
The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah, the heart does want what it wants. And here's the thing. I do actually sympathize with my clients because I've been in that position a few times myself. And, from my perspective, it's always about giving myself a power side chat, and explaining to myself. But I don't think that that may necessarily work for everybody else. And then, doing my own inner work and looking at where the places are inside of me that I'm feeling this. It's there's actually a word for it. It's called love addiction. And it may not necessarily, your experience may not necessarily be the same as mine, but the love addiction is caused by, it is believed to be caused by abandonment. For myself, I would just say that particular role model or that particular place where I was needing just was not accommodated because there was just a complete void there of a male role model when I was growing up. So there have been situations where I have actually been in that place of unrequited love. But what I have found is, for the most part, I would say, there have been times when I have actually gone ahead and was able to just completely, completely erase them. Like, erase the text. I erase, any form of communication that I've ever had with the person. Because from my standpoint, out of sight, out of mind. But I have actually been, or I have actually had relationships where the quality of the relationships became something else. And I have to admit that took a bit of maturity to grow into that particular role. What's your take on it, Reverend Harvey?
Well, for starters, it's interesting. Love addiction. A friend of ours wrote a book called Love Addicted, Mr. Bora Ricks. It is one of those things, and I've been there myself. It's like you said, when we go through abandonment, but also rejection, because rejection hurts just as much as abandonment. And you're looking for something. Inside you, you're looking to feel a certain kind of way, a way that you believe love should feel. And then you kind of have an idea of what the person should be like, look like, act like, whatever. And so you latch on to a particular person, because a lot of people will say, well, I don't know if that's me because I don't feel that way for everyone I've been in a relationship with. And you're not going to. There'll be people who you were in a relationship with and you maybe even loved them, but you didn't have that addiction to them. But understand the addiction, as Reverend Arlene said, it comes from that inner child. The inner child is needing something. It's seeking something. And that other person is drawn to you because that person is feeding what that inner child needs and wants. And that's what creates that addiction. You get a taste of it. It's like some hit of some ooh-wee. And once you got it, now you want to keep coming back. You can't wait to puff on that pipe again. So the person comes in and you get addicted, because when they're with you and it's good, it makes you feel the way you had always thought it would, or maybe even better than that. But then there's this quality in this person that, for some reason, it's not going to work between them. Maybe you're too needy. Maybe you're holding on too tight and you're forcing them away. Maybe just as much as you like them, you don't like them. There's things about them that you don't like. Maybe y'all clash. Maybe y'all argue and fight. But whatever it is, the inner child is holding on, and that person, for whatever reason, needs to get away. And when they need to get away, now within you, there's a craving. There's a craving just like a true addiction. There's a craving like if, you done had some really good stuff. You done snorted up some of the best stuff around, pure Colombian with just a few cuts on it. And so you can't help yourself. You actually go through a form of withdrawal from this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes it worse because you want to reach out to them. And no matter what anyone says, you want this person to want you back, even if you know it's not going to work, even if it's been horrible. It was a terrible relationship, but still something inside you want to revisit it. And on the rational side, for what? It wasn't all that good. You don't want to go back to it. On the irrational side, but I love them, because what's happening is that inner child say, I felt good, I felt safe, I felt, So when it was good, and it satisfied your inner urgings. When it was bad, and that only made those inner urgings want this person more, but also want to make them what you want them to be. So you're not even allowing them to be who they are. You want to make them what you want them to be, so that your urges, so that your cravings, so that your addiction can be fulfilled.
Wow. Well said.
Thank you. And for anyone who's listening, you know, just because I mentioned drugs, I don't do drugs. I don't know nothing about drugs. You know, it's just stuff I heard, okay? So, you know, pure Colombia and a few cuts, I've never seen it. Never touched the stuff, okay?
And
I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there.
Okay, so one of the things that people, you know, what happens, you know, what Reverend Harvey had to say about you possibly being too needy for the person, that actually is called love avoidance. And yes, the rejection is, from what I understand, is tantamount to the to going through, I think, like post-traumatic stress disorder. And I don't think that was actually the term that she used, but the thing is that the person who is in that state of being in that place of unrequited love is reliving like the parts of the relationship that did nourish them, that
mm-hmm.
did
mm-hmm.
Address those parts of themselves. And that's why, you know, there's a part of you that keeps cycling back to those thoughts and reliving those feelings and wanting to experience that over and over again. However, because of the very nature of that need that you have being too much or too overwhelming for the person, or maybe the person just decided to just end things. I guess you could say the experience is pretty much the same, regardless of which direction that goes from. However, one of the things that people should keep in mind is that they should, you know, choose themselves, that they need to come to a place where they say, okay, this relationship no longer serves me. It no longer honors me. This person is no longer behaving in a manner that truly serves those needs anymore. And you have to get to that place where you say to yourself, you know, is this relationship honoring me? Is it honoring the place that I'm in? And it doesn't, you know, we specifically talk about relationships, but this can go for any relationship that you may have, whether or not it be, you know, a friendship or business relationship or whatever relationship that you may have. When people get to that place and understand that when people go through their personal evolution and they go through their internal changes, as that person changes, the dynamic of the relationship changes. Now, this, you know, in some ways, this does not mean an ending or a rejection of the person. But again, the question still kind of applies, especially if the nature of the behavior between the friendships have gone through their changes, and especially if it feeds that need of that inner child within. And I will give an example. A while ago, I would say approximately a year and a half ago, I had a friend of mine that lived in Arizona, and she and I were pretty close and pretty tight. And she went through her personal evolution, and she actually told me that the relationship itself was going to end. And my, you know, my response to it, I in that particular instance, you know, my need for her wasn't that strong. So when our relationship changed to a degree where I was reduced down to text messages, That's just in my book, that's just a no-no, you know, and it doesn't matter if it is a friend or a relationship. If my relationship with an individual gets reduced down to text messages, then I tend to have this desire to just, well, you know, let's just completely end this altogether. I'm not, you know, I feel that on a personal level, it did not honor me. And on a personal level, I feel that text messaging, no offense to those who love texting, is the least effective form of communication. And it's often prone for misunderstandings. So
I so agree with that.
Yeah, true. Very, very interesting. And the same thing goes for, although it's a little better, but the same thing goes for emailing. I'm not so much into emailing because I've seen people just get all in a tizzy, you know, over the written word. And there is, from my perspective, there is really this lack of being able to see the person's reaction, not able to hear their voice. You know, all of the subtle nuances that you have with a face-to-face interaction or even a phone conversation, you just miss all of that, and so there's not much that you can pull from unless the person is extremely expressive through their writing. There's not a whole lot that you can pull through text messaging.
This is true. In communication, they teach that 80% of communication is nonverbal.
Verbal.
So when you're reduced to writing, all you have is the verbal. So 80% of what the person is really saying, you don't get. And what happens is it plays out in your mind. Many a times I've read a text and just felt like, oh, that's kind of smart the way they said that. And I don't mean smart in a good way. I mean, that's kind of smart mouth. Yet they may not have been saying or even meant it that way, but that's the way it's playing out in my mind as I read the words. Because think about it. You know, you could say the same thing, and depending upon what word you put the emphasis on will change how it's, you know, to be received. So
absolutely.
It's all in where you're reading it, where you're at when you're reading it. But, yeah, absolutely. But I do have a question for you. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I do have a question for you, Reverend Arlene. Going back
certainly.
To, you know, where you started with this when you were talking about getting over the hurt and the pain. How does one do that? I'll give you an example from my own personal life. I remember, you know, when I was in the Law Enforcement Academy back in 87. That's right, 87. I said it that long ago. Anyway, you know, I was young and, you know, love addicted with this young lady who really, everything about her was wrong for me. You know, even her mother said, you're much better than her. You can do better than her. Why are you even messing with this girl? You know, and so when that comes from someone's mama, you know what I mean? This is their mama. When mama tells you, you don't want to mess with this girl because she's not right for you, you need to listen to that. And it ain't even my mama. It's her mama. You know what I mean? So anyway, to, you know, cut through the chase, she had hurt me for the umpteenth time when I was in the academy, and I was truly, truly going through. So much so that my friends in the academy, now I was like, you know, one of the stars there. I was a straight A student. You know, I passed everything. I was the drill instructor for our drill team. You know, I was one of the top three students. Everybody in the academy and other classes even knew who I was. You know, I was one of the teacher's favorites. Okay? So, you know, I was kind of like the BMOC. And then for this spell, I was completely out of it. And those closest to me was asking, like, man, are you on drugs? What's going on? You know, and it was just, I was so crushed that I couldn't focus. You know, I remember at my worst point, one day I was in one of our block of instructions, and I had my head on the desk the whole class. You know, so it was just, I was done. I was just, you know, inside I was chewed up and spit out, and I was just going round and round in circles and didn't know what to do. So when you say, you know, get over it, and, you know, oftentimes you and I, we talk to people, we talk about loving self. When someone is there, how do you get them to do that?
And here's the thing. I will say that what I'm about to share with you is it's not an easy thing. Because believe me, I've been feel like I got chewed up and spit out and however, when you know, one of the things that you really need to, when you're in that state, you know, I would say go ahead, take a walk, be with yourself, do those things that even if you don't feel like it, do those things that give you some type of joy that you know that you enjoy doing.
Well, I can tell you, taking a walk wouldn't have made it better. The only thing I felt that gave me joy during that time was being with her. Taking a walk is only going to make me think more about her, because that's the only place my mind could go. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about being addicted, it's really like you done had a hit of some good stuff, and now you willing to do whatever you got to do to get some more of it, you know? And so taking a walk wasn't going to clear my head. Taking a walk was going to make me think about her. Doing the things that I like to do. At that time, the only thing I could think of that I like to do was be with her.
Spending time with her. Be with her. But during that time, were there other things that you did that were without her that you enjoyed? See, because the thing.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
But,
okay.
And since, you know, since we're getting into it, we can dissect it and you can, you know, help, because I'm telling you, there's people out there who hopefully are listening to this and they're saying, yeah, that's easier said than done. If I take a walk there, don't make it. You know, when I was, before I met her, I was boxing, you know, and I was considering going pro. And so when she came into my life, I was spending less time going to the gym after work, you know, or at the academy, it was with her instead of going to the gym. And it started off, you know, 5 days a week I'm in the gym, I'm training. Then it got to be about 3 days a week I'm in the gym training. And I don't even know when it happened, but real fast, it got to be 1 day a week, and then I don't know when I'm popping up in the gym. So during this time, you know, I came back to the gym. I figured, you know, okay, you know, I can get my head right. I can go back in and, you know, maybe pursue this boxing thing. I don't necessarily have to go pro. Maybe I will. But I can go back into the gym. And I went back into the gym, and I probably pushed out a week, if that much. You see, because it's a serious hold that it has on you. A serious hold that it has on you. And so the focus just wasn't there. Even down to the point, I remember I went to a New Year's party, New Year's Eve, 1987 going into 1988. And I met this girl, and she was really cool, and I liked that we had a good flow, good vibration. And so we started talking, we started hanging out, but I didn't stop thinking about the other girl who I was crazy about. And after, maybe a month and some weeks or whatever, but it was a little better than a month after I had actually met her, you know, she asked me to spend the night at her house. And that was really cool because you know what that means. And something inside me just wouldn't even allow me to do it, you know. It was like, no, because I'm crazy about this other woman, I just can't do it. And the girl wasn't even in my life. She weren't calling me. You know, it was like the people who call you and haven't heard from this person in a long time. Are they thinking about me? You know, they going through the Brian McKnight. Do I ever cross your mind anytime. I miss you. And so that was really where it was. And it was just foolish to me, you know, because there was a part of me that was like, man, you better get in there and get this. And then there was the other part of me like, man, don't do it. Don't do it. She's going to come back. And she never came back. So I'm saying to you, you know, let's get grimy with it. What kind of plan do you have? How do you help somebody in that situation?
Well, one of the things that, and from my perspective or what I've done is just let myself go through like that deepest, darkest time and just allow myself to cry and to mourn, because it is the equivalent of experiencing a death. And, you know, you allow yourself to go through your grieving process to and also during this time, after you've gotten to a certain point where you're able to actually do it, start actually reflecting on, well, what was it about that particular relationship that fed that inner child that's within you? What was it that you enjoyed about that particular relationship?
You know, I can answer that for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Because
that for me.
Interestingly enough, it did not take me long after I got over her to realize I didn't even love her. I didn't. You know, it was more like a teenage love, even if that. What it was that I had someone there to do things with, someone who I talked to. We knew, you know, arguments or fights. So I enjoyed the closeness and the companionship. I enjoyed being able to spoil her. You know, I remember one Valentine's Day, you know, she got all these gifts from me. My mom, like, I'm your mother, and I didn't get anything but a card, and she got all this stuff. You know, so it was, I enjoyed being able to be the romantic guy. And that's what it was. That and, of course, sex. So that's what the whole thing was for me, you know. And that's what it fed, the need to express myself that way, or more importantly, because, yes, I need to express myself that way, but it was the inner child's need to feel like someone loved me. And so in me showing love to her, it was trying to make her love me. And when she wasn't off, you know, being a tart, when she was there with me, though I know she didn't really love me, but that's the way it felt, you know, because she played her role. As long as she was in eyesight, she played her role. You know, out of sight, out of mind, for real. She turned the corner and she can't see me, I'm out of her mind.
Okay. But I would say that the step number one, really just allow yourself the opportunity to grieve, and then to take because for me it tends to be a cycle thing where, you know, I will be good for hours on end. And then it feels like the heart is bleeding. So, you know, but allowing yourself to go through that process of however it is that you grieve for the loss of the relationship. And then being able to, even during that time, being able to reflect on, well, what was it about the relationship that you liked? You know, in what way did it actually speak to you? And then think of other relationships that you do have that have that particular pattern that comes up for you where you're able to, you know, yes, you know, I do feel love, I do feel inspired. And being able to get to a place where you, you know, you begin to turn inward and start looking in on yourself and begin loving on yourself and being that loving, you know, person to yourself, start dating yourself. Start that practice of, okay, I really, really, love myself, and I want to have relationships that honor me, and understand that that person's departure really, and mind you, I understand that this is not going to be an easy thing for many people to accept, but that person's departure left you open to have a much better experience to come in. And also provided you with the opportunity to take a look at yourself and to heal those aspects of yourself that, that needed to be looked at, because that place of where you're in that place of addiction, that child within you is looking to be loved and to be cared for. So being in a relationship with yourself, being in a relationship with source of creation, and becoming your own best advocate, your own best friend, is the journey to having a much better experience come into the fold. And one of the things that you really, really need to take and walk with that. Now, I'm not saying that it's an easy thing. I'm saying that allowing yourself to go through the grieving process and all of that, it's not an easy thing. But one of the things that you will find is that as time goes on, that pain will ease up, and you will get to that place where you can just reflect back on that and say, okay, now that I know where this has showed up in my life already, I can be on the lookout for it the next time it comes around, so that you're not nearly as blindsided as you were, earlier. But we are going to take a quick commercial break and be right back, and we're going to talk about some more tools and strategies on how to overcome, unrequited love and having relationships that honor you.
Welcome to the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and your soul. Every Monday, it is Totally Whole with Pastors Bridget and Pastor Cook. Every Tuesday, it is the Old School Mix with the world-famous DJ Davey D, playing the hottest old school R&B, hip-hop, and reggae mixes around. Every Thursday, there's something new just for you. The first Thursday of the month opens with Total Empowerment with Angela Hardy of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. The second Thursday of the month is Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey talking about relationships. Get your relationship questions answered with One Love, One Connection, One Us. The third Thursday of the month is Reverend Jamel Gilliam with The Man Show. It's time to man up with the brother himself, Reverend Jamel, on The Sacred Masculine. Every fourth Thursday of the month, it is The Inner Consciousness with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. It is the self-help show. And just for you, we have a special on the fifth Thursdays of the month. We have Arlene Cahet coming back with Healing Paradigms, and she's going to offer you all the healing that you need. On Sundays, we have Updraft with the delightful Deletta Gillespie. You won't want to miss an hour or a minute or a day on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul.
Okay, and now we're back. And before we go there, well, Reverend Harvey, what would you mm-hmm. say to the person who's on the other end of that, the other end of the love addiction, where they're wanting to avoid the neediness? What would you recommend for them?
what would I say to the person who's trying to avoid the neediness? Those people doing
yes.
pretty good. They staying the heck away from you. I have nothing to say to them. Really, think about it. When people call you and you ask, they're like, well, I ain't heard from them in a long time. They're not calling you. They're not texting you. They're not emailing you. You know, unless you work with this person, you got to see them at work. They doing pretty good. Ain't nothing to say to them. Now, I can explain their mindset, but ain't nothing to say to them because they doing all right. They ain't the ones
yeah, okay.
going through. They're the ones out on the next date, and you see them, and you pissed off, and next thing you know, they getting married, and you done heard from one of your boys, oh, you know the girl used to date, she got married. What? Son of a, you know. So, hey, keep doing what you doing. That's all I got to say to them. Keep doing what you doing. Because the issue's not theirs. You know,
okay.
when I was messing with that woman, the issue wasn't hers. I mean, granted, she had a bunch of issues, but my issue wasn't hers. The issue was mine. And a lot of what you talked about is what I had to do to go through it. But now, from the other perspective, I'll tell you what. During the same period, you know, it's about a 3-year period, but during the same period, you know, there was another woman, and it's not the one that I met that New Year's, but there was this other woman, actually at the academy, and she was really, really feeling a brother. And, you know, in my youth, I was really into older women, so she was about 2-3 years older than me, you know, which was about typically where I liked them during that time. And, you know, she was nice and nice looking, but didn't do a thing for me, didn't turn me on in the least. And so that was probably, well, not probably, that was definitely the first time I had ever been what women would call a dog, you know. It was suggested to me by one of my male friends, brother of mine. He was like, look, man, I know you crazy about the other girl, but that ain't got nothing to do with you and her. You know, you can go ahead and at least spend time with her, have sex with her, do all those things while you still trying to work it out with the other girl. I say, not a bad idea. And this woman, you know, she moved onto my block just down the street from me so she could be closer to me. She was telling me all the time, I'm going to marry you. You're going to be my husband. And I'm thinking, wow, I won't even like her like that. You know what I mean? So for me, it was really, really, really about sex. That was the whole nature of my relationship with her. It was just about sex. Her relationship with me was completely different. In her mind, I was her boyfriend. I never told her that. I never led her on. I never gave her any inclination. Well, I guess there was, because I was having sex with her. So I can't say I didn't give her any inclination that I wasn't her boyfriend, because I was having sex with her. But I never told her, and I never acted like a boyfriend. I was just here to, you know. So when she came over my house, you know, she may bang on the door, and if I didn't want to deal with her, I ain't even open the door. I act like I wasn't home. Back then, I was on the bus, so she couldn't even look out there and see if I had a car. You know what I mean? And so it was easy. If I wanted to deal with her, I could let it in. You know, if I was having one of them nights where I was just really in need, you know, I was in heat, I'd walk down the street no matter what time, a day or night it was, knock on her door, and we'd get it on. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning, and we'd get it on. So it, to me, that's what it was all about. And the interesting thing about this is, keep in mind, this is a period that I'm in where I'm crazy about this other woman. I want to be with this other woman who don't want anything to do with me. Yet here's this woman who want everything to do with me, and I want nothing to do with her outside of the physical. So for me,
okay.
The mindset was this. You know, if you're going to put it out there like that, then I might as well take advantage of it, because you don't have enough respect for yourself to see that I'm not going to give you the love that you deserve. How interesting is that, when I was doing the exact same thing?
Very. Well, we do have a caller on the line, and hold on, caller, I'm on my way to you. Welcome to One Love, One Connection, One Us. Who am I speaking, and where are you calling from?
Well, is it me?
Zakiya. Welcome to One Love, One Connection,
sure,
One Us.
I wasn't sure because you didn't give a number, so I wasn't sure if it was me, but I guess it's me.
It's you, baby. It's you.
Yes, it's me. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Look, you know, this is I love this conversation, Harvey and Arlene. I really do love this conversation. So, and I'm just going to say I've been on both ends of the spectrum. So I have been the one, Harvey, that was pining for this brother and was liking him like that, and he could have cared less, but that did not stop me. It was just something that, you know, I was addicted. I mean, I was addicted to everything, and I felt like the more I pursued, he's going to finally get it. You know, he's going to finally get it. I'm the one. And, oh, my God, that's such a terrible place to be in. So when you ask the question, how do you get over something like that? You know, all I can say is one second at a time. I can't say one day at a time. Harvey, you never mentioned crying, but I did. I cried.
I'm a man. I ain't saying that on the air.
Yeah, I don't know what men do. You know, you didn't mention that.
We cry in the dark. You seen the book.
Babe, let me tell you something. Cry crocodile tears. Just boo-hooed. My heart ached. My heart hurt. It was like every part of me was just done. It was like, why do I need to live anymore, you know? And, but, you know, somehow you just get through it. You know, you talk to your girlfriend. You know, for us, a lot of for women, you know, we talk to our girlfriends. They come and hold us and pat us on the heads. It's going to be all right. Well, they might say, girl, please, don't even give that nigga, excuse my, cancel. Don't even give him no mind because he don't even know what's up. And so you can get comfort like that, or you just work through it. You know, I play music. You know, sometimes the music, I would have music that would just take me down more down the path, down the rabbit hole. And so, but it's a thing, I think, that when you carry that kind of love, so to speak, or that kind of desire for another person, and you wrap yourself all up in that, and with me, I lost myself up in that. And Harvey, I think I kind of heard you go there.
Oh, I lost myself. I was gone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and so we all know that is a, you know, not a healthy place to be. But, you know, I was like, boy, if I could just love myself like that, I'd be all right. So, you know, I've been on that end of the spectrum. And I've been on the other end of the spectrum where, you know, I've had a guy that was so into me. And I just, you know, I wasn't feeling him like that. And, you know, I didn't even know how to say it without hurting his feelings. And, you know, I got to the point, I think this is what a lot of guys do. You know, they just don't call. So I wouldn't accept his calls. You know, he would be sending me messages and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know to say, you know, hey, you know, I really like you as a friend. Who the heck wants to hear that when you're in love? You know what I'm saying? Somebody was like, oh, you know, you're really a great person, and I really like to keep you as a friend, and yet that person's heart is yearning for you. So,
friend zone.
I kind of took the coward's way out and just stopped, you know, accepting calls until finally, you know, he got the message. And I know that's not the best way to handle it. I mean, I'm a whole lot different today than I was at that time. I would just be honest. I think it's kind of better to, you know, let the person down straight up. You know, like, you know, and I know it sounds like a cliche when you say, you know, you really are a great person. I really enjoy, you know, the time we share together. We have good conversations. But, you know, I'm really not into a love relationship that you're looking for. And I had to say that to someone, and it was a really, really hard thing. That's not it's been this year. I had to say that to a beautiful soul, beautiful, beautiful soul, and yet I knew that his feelings for me was something that I could not return. And so I just said, you know, it's time to put your big girl panties on and just be straight up with the brother. And
now,
I
do have a quick question for you, Zakiya. Now, generally, I'm just saying that did you ever run into a situation where that rejection turned that person into, it's almost like, how dare she not want me, you know, and that they pursued you even harder after you were straight up with them and you gave them that? Because I let's just put it this way. I have been, you know, in that particular situation as well. And if so, how did you handle that?
I can answer that because I've been in that situation.
What?
But go ahead, Zakiya.
I have not had that one, Arlene. So I'm going to turn that one over to you because if you've had that experience, that is not a place that I can come from. Because what happened with this gentleman, he took what I said. You know, he's like, okay, well, I appreciate you, you know, saying that. And, you know, you'll always be my friend. You know, we'll always be that. And we are that. So, no, I haven't had anyone that, you know, said, how dare she not. Now, whether he felt it, you know, said it in his mind, you know, because I know people can go there with, you know, why wouldn't she want me? You know, what's wrong with me? At least I know for me, I've done that. Why doesn't he want me? What's wrong with me? Or if he goes, you know, like with you, Harvey, seeing someone else, I'm like, well, what does she have that I don't have? You know, what she don't look any better than I do. You know, what is it?
She didn't know about the other woman at all. We didn't converse a whole lot. It was just the sexual thing. And for me, I would have sex
and,
with her
know,
and tell her, I'm never going to be anything more than a sex partner to you. And she just refused to accept that. So I eventually left and went to basic training. She figured I'd come home and marry her. No, it was what I told her it was.
Right, and sometimes it just is that, you know, and I've been on that spectrum too, where, you know, hey, I just, you know, guy wasn't really into him as a mate, but, you know, the sex thing was good, and that's where I wanted to be. But I just think what I was going to say was that I think that what happens is that, you know, we, for me, the hardest thing for me was when he would go and be with someone else. And I would see him happy and, you know, like you said, somebody called you up and said, guess what, he's also got married or getting ready to get married or something. And, like, my heart was just broken into pieces because I couldn't understand why not me. Why not me? My other question was, why is it every time they left me, they seemed to do so much better in the next relationship? Lord, that was a big one for me. I know that's not tonight's conversation, but I hope we'll have that conversation about how come after he left me, it seemed like he just had the most amazing, happy marriage and life, and it didn't work that way with us. So anyway, I just wanted to put my little two cents in, and Arlene, please answer that question so I can know how it turned out for you.
Well, in my particular instance, when that happened to me, I did actually talk to. Here's the thing, I was just straight up honest with him about who I was and how I expressed myself spiritually, because that was for me. That was like, you know, a deal breaker. And I already knew what, you know, I could already feel in his vibration. That intuitive thing, it cuts people off, like, really, really quickly. So I already knew that he was going to have problems with it because he was more traditional, fundamentalist. And what happened was I was just more honest and more expressive about who I was. And I understand, you know, it wasn't an easy thing for him to come to grips with, because he was trying very hard to make it fit. You know, you're okay because you do X, Y, Z. Well, yeah, but I have like this other stuff over here that I do. You know, you're going to have a problem with this. Well, you know, and we kept going back and forth until eventually he got scared off. But I had already seen that he was going to have issues with that anyway, and that all I had to do was just be myself, and he would come to grips. And eventually, you know, he stopped calling. But Reverend Harvey, you did say yeah, that you were in that position before.
Mm-hmm. From the male's mm-hmm. perspective, this is what happened. You know, there was a young lady, and I mean, interestingly enough, all of her qualities was everything that I was looking for at that time in a girlfriend. All of her qualities was everything. I mean, we could conversate for hours. She was so easy to get along with, fun to be around. You know, everything about her was pretty much on point. Though physically, I wasn't attracted to her at all. And even with all those other qualities, I still wasn't attracted to her. I liked her as a friend. So it was one of them things where, you know, you're cool as a friend, but you're just not, you know, for me, the girl I want to be with, even though you've got all the qualities of a girlfriend that I want. And so for her, hearing that in made it seem like there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And so she kept pushing, she kept trying, you know, she would buy me things. And it was really cool, you know, because, you know, even as a man, we like to be spoiled too. Sometimes we want y'all to woo us. And so, you know, for her to go out of her way, she would fix dinner for me. You know, she'd invite me over the house, we'd watch movies, she'd cook, she'd take me out, she would buy me little gifts. You know, it was just like, okay. You know, she was seriously on her bike pursuing me, big time. And one day it just came to a head where she called me up and she said this. And when she said this, this was just it for me. I knew that I had to break all communication with this woman because I couldn't live with it for her to go there. But she said to me, look, I want to be your girlfriend. You can cheat on me if you want. I don't care. I just want to be with you. And it's like, whoa, you're going to drop to that level? You know, and so for me, it was just like, absolutely no. I didn't even talk to her again for months. Because it was just, for me, that hurt. You know, it hurt me that you're going to put yourself out there like that and that you would just carte blanche. Tell me, go ahead, you can mess around with other women. I just want to be number one. And it's like, whoa, you know, I don't even want a woman who thinks like that. You know, I want a woman who think I'm the only one. Even if you're not, I want you to think and want to be the only one.
Can I ask a question? Were you able to express that to her? Did you say that to her? Because it seems to me that she would have needed to hear that. Because she obviously, you know, needed some healing issues. She had some healing issues. So did you say that to her? Were you able to say that
to her?
I did.
No, I was. I was able to express that to her, but that wasn't what, you know. Well, let me put it like this, because to a degree, you're right. Spiritually, she really did need to hear that. But where she was coming from with her mental at that time did not matter. She was locked on. And she wanted me. And that was, so for me, the only way to deal with this was to completely cut her off. You know, I just completely stayed away from her. And we were in the same National Guard unit at that time. And so I made sure to stay away from her when we were at the drill, because it was just, I can't let this woman go on like this. However, I got to say this, and I'm putting me out here, and, you know, hey, I'm like ASAP Rocky and Kendrick Lamar. Sometimes I got an F problem. And so I got activated for about 4 or 5 months.
And I didn't go any further than California, but I went out to California. And when I came back, you know, it was 4 or 5 months that I hadn't had any physical activity, you know. And so she heard I was back, and she came over my house, and she was wearing this little outfit. You know, it was a short set that was really tight on her. And all I can say is, you know, but after that, you know, I went back to keeping my distance from her and just not giving her any impression that it was going to be anything with her and I. And I probably shouldn't have done that, but, you know, hey, it's been a minute. And I was dealing with my F problem.
So let me, can I ask another question? I don't want to take over the conversation, but I just want to ask, is it true then that men, or would you say that you lost respect for her? Because, you know, I've heard that quite often, is that, you know, men lose respect for women when they throw themselves at them, so to speak. Did you lose respect for her?
Not when she was throwing herself at me. I lost respect for her when I made up my mind that I had to stop dealing with her. When she lowered herself to the point of saying, "You can fool around on me. You can cheat on me. I just want to be your girl." That was when I lost respect for her. Like I said, even men, some of us, we want to be wooed too. So it's okay that you pursuing me. I like that you were pursuing me. Even though I don't want you, I like that you were coming at me. I like your style. You know, I like the way she carried it. She weren't coming at me like just being overly aggressive. She was coming at me with some style. You know, she was saying things. She was playing to my ego. She was taking care of my physical needs any way I wanted her to. You know, she would buy me things. She was cooking me dinner. You know, she was playing to the man in me, which I like. But then when she said what she said, that was like, oh, hold up. You know, I don't want to even be associated with a woman who feels that way. Because in my mind, a woman, nobody, man or woman, should ever feel that way, that it's okay if you cheat on me. I just want to be the only one. And so for me, that was the bomb. You know, that was the bomb that dropped. It just blew up everything. It's like, I don't even want to, you know, be physical with you anymore. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. I need to stay away from you, because if you that wrapped up in me, something's wrong here. Something's not right upstairs.
Right. And so when you, and there are a lot of women out there that, I mean, even today, sisters are out there, and that's what they get them, that's how they portray themselves with a man. So what would you say to them? I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, what would you say to them? You know, okay, you know, you got this guy, you're all wrapped up in him, he already told you he's not interested, you keep pursuing, you spend all these dinners, you buying him gifts, and you ain't going to get him by doing that. And what would you say to these sisters to help them so that they don't continue to, what I would say, make a fool out of themselves? Because obviously these tactics are not working. You can't make nobody love you.
That's right.
You, as a man, say to the sisters out here?
What I would say to them, and Zakiya, I'm going to ask that, and Arlene, I want to get you back in your conversation, but I'm going to answer that from two perspectives. The mindset that I was then, which is more out there, and who I am today. So I'm going to start with who I am today. Women, people, period. But since you asked about women, have respect for yourself. Even if this is what you're feeling and thinking inside, never voice it. Never let it out, because it'll pass. It'll pass. You can do all these things, and if he's not showing you the interest, if he's not reciprocating, he's not the one. You don't want
mm-hmm.
it. No matter how much you think you're in love with him, a man should treat you as good as you treat him or better. So if you're putting out, and I'm not talking about physically putting out, but if you're putting out energy, if you're pursuing him, if you're cooking for him, if you're buying him things, ask yourself, what has he done for you? What is he doing
mm-hmm.
for you? And he don't have to necessarily, if you're buying for him, he don't necessarily have to be buying for you. But what is he providing you? What do he bring to the relationship? What do he bring to the table? Is it conversation and you feel better after the conversation? Maybe all he has to offer is his knowledge and wisdom. But if that knowledge and wisdom benefits you and you come away better for having had those conversations with him, then it's a good thing. Maybe all he has to offer you is that he can lay pipe. Now, you got to ask yourself, is that all you want in a relationship? Because there's more to life than that. And at some point, you no matter what kind of pipe layer he is, eventually he's not going to be the plumber he used to be. So you got to ask yourself, what connection do you have beyond that? Maybe he makes you feel secure. But then ask yourself this, what is it about him that makes you feel secure? Can you find that within you? Do you really need someone else to make you feel secure? What is it that you're lacking? So you got to look to see what the other person brings to the table. And it's not just about material things. It's how are you better for being in a relationship with this person? What do they do to uplift you? What do they do to make you, even if it's making you feel better, but making you feel better in a positive way, not in a temporary way? You know, he makes me feel better when we're getting along, but then when we're arguing and fighting, it's not so good. Then that's not what you need if y'all can't find a way to stop arguing and fighting, if you can't find a way to come to peace. Now, that's who I am today. If I go back to that mindset would just simply say this. A woman need to respect herself. No man is going to get serious with a woman who ain't got no respect for herself. So if that's how you're going to carry it, you're going to just keep getting dog from one brother to the next.
Okay. And actually, this goes really back to I will say that I will tag on to what Reverend Harvey said, which is you need to go ahead and ask yourself, is this relationship honoring you? I mean, if you are not, what is it exactly that you were getting from the relationship in the first place? What part of your needs is that person actually filling, and getting clarity about that? Because if you're not getting what you're needing from the relationship, and it's already understood that he does not want you, then you have to, at some point come to grips with that reality that the relationship is going to be what it is if you decide to be friends. Because I have actually been in relationships with people who I had unrequited feelings for, and what began to happen was that the relationship, when I surrendered whatever it was that I was thinking and feeling that the relationship should be on a romantic level, it actually caused the relationship to transform into something else, and transform into something that was far more richer and more valuable to me than actually having them, actually being in an intimate relationship with them. And mind you, it also started as a catalyst to changing even the relationships and my personal friendships in and of themselves. It changed that up as well, because when I surrendered what I was thinking and feeling about it, and surrendering it and getting to that place of actually saying, okay, source of creation, obviously I'm not going to get what I'm deeply desiring and needing from this relationship. I'm willing to surrender whatever my expectations are, and letting it transform into what source, what you would have it be. And what begins to happen is when you have that, if you have that type of thinking, not only about those relationships that are unrequited, but all of your relationships, there is a deeper richness about the connections that you begin to develop. The people who begin to enter into your life after you make that a declaration, it causes you to get into this place, this state of creation, where you are building relationships that are empowering to you, that nourish you in other ways, that are able to feed those parts of yourself that you felt that were not answered when you were growing up. It turns it into a really transformative type of energy, and you begin to have these experiences where you're connecting with people who are actually, when you meet them, there's a part of you that has this sort of instant falling in love type of feeling with them. It really, really does change up the way people actually approach you, and it gets you into that place of evolving to a state where you are beginning to, not only in your friendships, but even in your personal relationships begin to transform as well when you have that as your highest and best intent, that whatever the source of creation wants this relationship to be, I go ahead and I surrender it. Surrender the whatever expectation I may have to whatever source would have it be. And the room goes silent. We have crickets here.
Zakiya, you still with us?
I am still here. Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for allowing me to share in your conversation. And thank you, Arlene, because it gives a lot of more understanding of how you can put it all together so it's not just about romantic relationships, but about all relationships. Because I think at some point, you know, we get into that with, you know, even with any kind of relationship, we can get too much more involved. And lose ourselves. I think that's a big thing for me, the understanding of that losing myself into another person when I really need to be putting all that energy into my own self. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And when I would just say try it out. Because, you know, even though I say this, at least having Source enter all of your relationships and transforming them into what Source would have them be, even though I say this, I would say, you know, it has worked for me, but I would recommend just trying it out and setting that as an intention for all of your relationships, all of your relationships, and watch how they transform, because what will happen is that you will find that those places where you feel that you may have been needy, that those friendships themselves will begin to feed those particular aspects of yourself, and you know, vice versa, it will enrich your relationships. But test it and see how it works for you.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you all, and I'm hoping that the others that are listening will also get a lot of that, get from what you just heard, how it can affect each and every one of us. And I just want to say this one thing, because you talked about other relationships that, you know, even when it comes to, and I'll take a relationship between a parent and a child, you know, I'm having some situation right now even with my own mother, and I realize how much I am still in that neediness. Even all these years of my life, I'm still reaching out for something in this relationship with my mom that, you know, that is causing, you know, challenges because of that neediness. So so thank you for, because it's not just about, you know, romance. It can be in anything. So thank you. Yeah.
You're quite welcome.
I appreciate y'all.
Feel free to join our conversation anytime you want. You can come on and ask questions as you did today. You know, feel free to just think of yourself as the third person whenever we want. If that's how you like it.
I spiritually. How about that? But you guys always have an awesome conversation. I love joining in. I thank you for accepting me. Thank you. I'm going to go on mute now. Maybe somebody else might want to join in. Thank you. God bless.
You're welcome. All right.
You're welcome.
Florley.
Okay. Yes.
I was just going to say, where we go from here?
Well, I guess we can go ahead and reiterate what we talked about earlier, which is, you know, if you've been in a situation where you've had unrequited love, or your relationship has changed and you feel that you've suffered that area of separation from them. One of the first steps that we've talked about is just allowing yourself to grieve, because that change in the relationship is actually like a death, and allow yourself to go through the pain of it. And then step number two is go ahead and, you know, begin asking yourself the question, well, what was it about this relationship? What is it that this relationship that you experienced, what area did it feed in you? Because that's the reason why you've gotten into that state of addiction about it. Then that's why you're grieving over the loss of it, or you've been in that state of being rejected. But what was it about them, or what was it that you were experiencing that needs to be looked at, so that you could take a look at yourself and begin to start the process of actually beginning to heal that part of yourself and addressing that part of yourself that is calling to be healed, because that's one of the main reasons why we do have our different experiences. People are a mirror, and they show us what it is that we need to take a look at within ourselves. And then step number three would be to accept things as they are, and ask yourself, well, what aspects of the relationship themselves, that part of them that they filled, but what aspects of those relationships themselves actually address whatever your personal needs were, whatever your personal concerns were, what was it that you liked about it? And when you have another person come into your experience, you will be able to recognize that. And then going ahead and letting go of whatever your expectation of it is, or expectation of it was, and surrendering that to source. But those are the steps that you can take in order to get yourself to a place where you are in relationships that honor you and help you to overcome unrequited love or rejection. But do you have anything to add, Reverend Harvey?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
On to what you said, it helps to understand that we do live in a holographic universe. What I mean by that is, back to what you're saying, that others are a mirror to us. But not often the way we think of a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself. There's more to it than just that. So what someone is doing to you may not necessarily be how you're treating yourself, but it may be the thoughts that you're having. It may be how you're treating other people. So that mirror shows you, but there's more to you than just one dimension. So when you think about, you know, being in love with someone and that person not giving that love back, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not loving yourself, though more often than not, that's what it's pointing to, but it could mean that you're not being lovable. Not that you're not loving yourself, but that you're not being lovable. Often, particularly for us as men, you know, it's more valuable for us in the world to be hard than it is to be soft and open. And so when we get into a relationship with a woman, we're not always as open to receiving love as we should be. But that's not just men. There are a lot of women who have been hurt, and then they shut down. And even when they get in a relationship, they're only willing to open up so much. And so they're not open to receiving love.
So we have to look at things and see, how am I that way? Am I not loving me enough? Am I not open to receiving love? Are my thoughts that someone is going to reject me? Someone is going to turn away from me? Someone is going to, even if they get with me, they're going to eventually leave me? Where in my experience am I creating this, that it's manifesting in this world and I'm seeing it this way? When you get that understanding and you're looking not just in one particular way, you know, because that becomes frustrating. I know I love myself. I do all these things they talk about. I go out by myself. I've been dating myself. I've done this. I've done that. Why is it that I still attract this kind of person? What are your thoughts? Are your thoughts that this person's going to reject you? Are your thoughts fear that they're going to reject? Because fear is powerful, you know. And so if your fears are that they're going to turn away from you, or that even if you get together, it's not going to last, then you're creating that. And so you have to be careful of what you think, what you feel, and what you voice. Because not only is it a holographic universe, you're co-creating this universe. And so what's coming into your world, you have played some part in creating it. You can uncreate it. You are just that powerful. So if you're in a relationship, or you're dealing with the aftermath of a relationship, you know, if you're going through withdrawal from a relationship where the other person didn't feel the same way about you, understand how powerful you are, and that you can, after you go through what Arlene said, because it is important to go through the pain. I had to go through the pain. I couldn't sidestep it. I couldn't go around it. I had to go into that dark hole, and I had to come out on the other side. But when you come out on the other side, you come out better. If that person doesn't want to be in your life, trust me, it's for your betterment that they're not there, because the universe always conspires in your favor. If they are going to be a part of your strength, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional, then they would be there. If they're not there, it's because they've served their purpose, understand the heart's pain, allow the heart to express so that you can give more love the next time around. Don't be afraid. You know, the more you've been hurt, the deeper that cut is, the more you're allowed to love, because you know the pain of love. And Arlene, I'm going to give it back to you real quick, but I just want to say this. Bruce Lee wrote a story, a book called Circle of Iron, and David Carradine from Kung Fu fame turned it into a movie, same name, Circle of Iron. It's a two-hour movie, so they don't go but so deep, but it's a metaphor for spiritual growth and enlightenment. So David Carradine, who also stars in this movie, he's on this journey seeking enlightenment. Two very important things happen that's germane to the conversation that we've had tonight. The first one is he comes upon this guy whose job it is, or so he believes, to make everyone happy. He gives you your heart's desire. And so to David Carradine's character, he gave Rose, his sixth or seventh wife. She was very beautiful, gorgeous. And the next day, Rose is dead. And so he goes back to the guy, and the guy say, "You must want to fight me now." And he says, "No." He say, "But I killed your girl." He say, "No, you didn't kill her. I killed her. I killed her by holding on too tight, by trying to mold her to my will." That's what we do in a relationship. That's why relationships don't last that long, because we hold on too tight. We want to make you ours. We want to mold you to our will so that we can keep you right here. But instead of that keeping a person there, it forces them to run away, because people need to breathe. People need to be free to express themselves. And you have to learn to express yourself while allowing them to express themselves. And Arlene, I'm going to end it right after this. And the second thing that was important is that at the end of the movie, he gets enlightenment. He goes to this island that only very few people get there, and you have to go through all these challenges, and he survives all these challenges. He goes to the island, and it's the Book of Knowledge. And the guy who's in charge of the Book of Knowledge say, you know, when I took this position, I didn't look at the Book of Knowledge. I just took over. You should do the same. And he said, no, I need to see this book. Where is it? And he said, please, just take over. Free me from this knowledge, is what he's saying. And he said, no, I want to see the book. So he gives him the book. He opens it up, and it's pages and pages of mirrors. The Book of Knowledge. Everything you need to know is within. If you don't go within, you go without. Arlene, it's all you, baby.
Well, we're going to give people one more opportunity. If you would like to speak with us, just press the number one. Otherwise, we're going to be going ahead and closing out the show for this evening. Going once? Going twice? I guess we're sold. Okay. Okay. So
not a third time? Okay. I wouldn't go to you if you were an auctioneer. Go on at 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. There you go. You got it.
Okay, so I'm going to end this with a prayer that I actually wrote for myself when I was going through one of my areas of unrequited love. And also, you know, I do when the things that I often recommend, I actually do for myself. So, but it says, God is all there is. And the divine wisdom of the source of creation enters all of my relationships and transform them into the greatest and highest intent and purpose of Source. So I open and willingly surrender any expectations of my will and intent and stand in the knowing that all that there is as it should be. And I release this out into the law, and so it is. Ashe.
And so it is.
Okay. Ashe. And so it is. Okay. And we're going to, you know, my name is, well, my name is Reverend Arlene Cahet, and we and my co-host, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, we are signing out. We wish you love, peace, and blessing in all of your relationships.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret.
Oh.